podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sweet Suplex Retweet.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Saturday Draft Live. My name is David Hockney, and it is a big weekend of wrestling. This weekend, we've got Night of Champions, we have Double or Nothing, and a few other shows in between from other companies. But we're here to break down the analysis and the potential points that our draft season competitors can score from what is expected to be a massive, massive weekend of wrestling. And joining me to cover all the scoring of the past week and what may to come is Jack Graham. Jack, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you. Glad to be back in on SDL this week. We've got a huge, huge weekend of potential point scoring coming up with three pay-per-views all in one go. So we'll be looking forward to see how that pans out after this weekend.
And we had an in-depth discussion on most of them on this week's episode of ESSR Central, which is now on our back catalogue. So make sure you listen to that. And if you want to listen to that along with other great shows we have on Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet, you can follow us on Spotify, iTunes, and any of your preferred podcasting platforms. And be sure to get involved with the conversation on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Suplex Retweet. And our Eat Sleep Suplex Retweet community big question of the week coming out of Central is, which match and which pay-per-view are you looking forward to the most? We have had some pretty decent feedback already. And I have to say, Jack, it is looking pretty one-sided with that question.
It's safe to say the build in one side of the house has went very well. The others just seems kind of, there's been some sort of build, but has the cement been made properly to put it all together? I don't know, you know what I mean?
We'll just have to wait and see what happens as events unfold. But we'll go into a bit more detail with the events to come a bit later on. But we're going to start off, as always, with our top three of the week. And our top scorers is a three-way tie. Each of our top three is on 7 points, so we'll shoot through each of them one by one. So we'll start off with Orange Cassidy, Jack, and who has now made his way to the top of the top 10 of the season with 30 points overall. Goat David Campbell picking him as the last round one pick. And as with another international AEW championship defense under his wing, do you think Orange Cassidy is starting to prove to be a bit of a dark horse in terms of top scorers this season?
Well, he's number one, isn't he? He's the best performing ranked wrestler, the best performing round one. It's certainly quite impressive, considering half the panel for us kind of laughed at it as a round one pick. They've certainly made that title feel quite prestigious, with the Collision obviously being built up, and there's the kind of idea that maybe TNT will be in one show and the international title will be in the other. So it's quite good to see, and obviously we'll talk about later, but it's a big match for Orange Cassidy this week as well. So we'll see what happens. But it's David Campbell's captain. It's got 55 points overall, so it's a huge getting that and kind of proving the haters wrong, so to speak.
And he's got a ton of haters, let me tell you that much. But I think it just goes part and parcel with the AEW mid-card titles, as we've seen in past seasons. When you've got the captaincy applied on a mid-card champion who's defending regularly, it proves to be quite a formidable point scorer throughout the season. And this is almost echoing that, you know, like what we saw in season 5 with Cody Rhodes in the TNT Championship.
He went an absolute tear. Obviously, like the situation with the pandemic probably helped, and they were trying just to build everything around it. But the match coming up for Orange Cassidy, time will tell if he'll keep it, considering the kind of match it is. But if he keeps it, depending on the eliminations he gets, it could be a good point scorer for David Campbell. But I do think we'll talk about it later. There's a lot of teams that could have a lot of good points scored this weekend.
Our second 7 points scorer this week is, surprisingly, it's Big Mammy Cool, Raquel Rodriguez, who, after quite an unfortunate week prior, she lost. She was vacated the women's tag titles because of Liv Morgan getting injured, but she seems to have found a replacement partner in Shotzi, and they got a win over Damage Control this week, so that puts her at the top of the table this week. How do you think Raquel's going to fare after what was quite an unfortunate setback in being vacated of the women's tag titles?
It's very unfortunate. Obviously, I had the tag partner Liv Morgan, who's out injured for, I think it's going to be quite a while now, unfortunately. But Raquel's been able to do well when I think she's wrestled Monday, then Friday, then Monday again, then Friday again. She's won in all her matches. So that's like a 12 points right off the bat there. And she's been appearing backstage as well, which has got her an extra few points. There's been a good couple of weeks out of Raquel. I don't reckon that they'll win the titles on Monday, but I do think that for the now, I think Matt Smith, who drafted Raquel Rodriguez, will be fairly happy with his performance at Raquel so far.
And unsurprisingly, once again at the top of the table, a very formidable tag team performance from Matt Smith's team captain, the team undisputed tag team champions, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, who are still second place overall with 28 points for the season, only being overtaken by Orange Cassidy and his successful defense. But I mean, what's there to be said about Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens that we haven't already discussed? You know, Matt Smith pouncing on the opportunity to pick up the undisputed tag champions, and it's what's keeping them at the top of the table at the minute.
I think this is the key kind of section, the key kind of thinking about of Zayn and Owens. Essentially, I think after this weekend, their story with the Bloodline kind of finishes. It will go more into the implosion of the Bloodline solely after that, and then move on to something else. So it'll be interesting that the points that will be scored after that for Zayn Owens, I still think it'll be quite a lot. Will it keep the same traction it has been? I'm not sure, but it's time will tell how the performance of Zayn Owens will go. But it was no surprise that Matt Smith was taking Zayn Owens straight away after Rhea Ripley when Scott took her. So it's like it's the 54 points for the captaincy applied so far. You can't argue with it. It's just a matter of how can they keep that 7-10 points they get weekly going forward, because they probably won't be appearing on SmackDown for a while after this, like with my thinking anyway. So we've got to wait and see.
Yeah, you know, and obviously they were drafted to Raw as the tag champions, but I don't know if the rule is because they're undisputed tag champions they can appear on both shows still, but look, the draft turned into a bit of a hot mess. You know, people are just wild carding themselves for no reason at that point. So, but no, that's I digress here. We'll go into the top standings of the table. There's 14 seasons in our Contributors League, is what we call it on Central. So, no surprise here, but starting from the bottom, 14th place, Andy Mitchell, who is blowing like Shane McMahon's knee with his team name. I hope I don't blow like Shane McMahon's knee, on 51 points. Then we have, in joint 12th, both on 62 points, we have Grant McRobbie with the Great O'Connor Appreciation Society and Ross McLeod with Homosexual Chocolate. Into 11th is myself with the West End Country Club of 65 points overall. And then just above me, we've got a 10-point jump. For joint 9th, we have Scott McLeod with Dorothy Mantooth as a Saint and Stephen Wilson with Ross Wilson's Underappreciated, both on 75. Smack bang in the middle, we have Tom Brock and the Dutch government officials on 80. Joint 6th, we have Ross Brady with Big Ross Man and Ryan Dalglish, the Lean Mean Tangerine Machine, both on 85 points. And then we move into our top 5. In 5th place, it's yourself, Jack, 3-time Kings of Drafting on 88 points. A wee bit of a stumble from the top, but still top 5, which, as we know, it's everything could change from that point. 4th place, Team Goat, the Goat David Campbell on 90 points. And then in our top 3, we have Chris Anthony Lopez, 3rd place, Heartbreaker FC, 93 points. Just 3 points ahead of him. 2nd place, Gary Kernahan with Team Viscera, 96 points. And once again, top of the table, and our biggest scorer this week with 25 points scored in just this week alone, it's Matt Smith in the Booty Boys, one of our listeners' league winners, who is running rampant over our contributors. But yeah, like I said, Matt Smith, 25 points this week alone, and that's really, really opened up the gap a little bit between him and Gary, because, you know, Jack, the top section of the table has been very tight so far, but I think people are starting to sort of find their place a little bit.
It's the kind of the tightness that we saw to begin with has kind of started to separate as with as performances of coming in for certain wrestlers and obviously performance from certain folk in the draft we didn't expect. Matt Smith is on an absolute canter right now. I expect to see that continue after this weekend. We'll talk about that in a bit. But yeah, it's all starting to take shape, and it's everyone's probably already thinking ahead to the transfer window after Money in the Bank.
Yeah, absolutely. But looking at the overall points scored this week, obviously Matt's scored the highest this week. Everybody, well, most of the table at least, are scoring between 10 and 15 points this week alone. Although myself and Ross have had an absolute stinker this week. You know, Ross only scored 3 points this week and I only scored 7, which is the first time all season long that either of us have scored less than double digits on a weekly basis. So do you think this is just a bit of calm before the inevitable storm that is this massive weekend of PLEs?
I think so. Obviously, when you take like a quick look at like your team, for example, you've got Gunther, Jade Cargill, LWO, Brock Lesnar, Asuka, Bron Breakker. All but one of your team, LWO, is involved in the big PLE weekend, and you've scored 7 points. Looking at that, that's unfortunately, that's pretty shit. You would have expected a good week before that with so many folk involved. It's a hard one. It's a hard one to take, and it's kind of Ross has got Moxley and Claudio, Indy Hartwell, Bobby Lashley, Shinsuke Nakamura, Maxine Dupri, and Omos. He doesn't really have that apart from Moxley and Claudio. It's going to be on the shows this weekend. So that comparison of your team is so heavy involved this weekend, he's got one and only a 4 point difference. I think that's a hard one to take.
Well, you never know. Everything could change, you know, post this weekend. But before we go into more detail, Jack, unfortunately, I have to saddle you with the responsibility of running through our Listeners League standings for the week. So without any further ado, give us the rundown on the Listeners League.
Oh, absolutely. It's no blight in my name in the Listeners League. I love these people. You know, they're great folk. But the top five, we kind of look at the Listeners League normally we see here. Alan Laurie has made his way into the top five. Alana Oki is a war crime on 105 points. Lachlan Hyatt, who's been our number one for so long, has dropped off a wee bit. He's sitting at 107 points with Kilmarnock's Kiss.
Listen, you live down the country club, Lachlan. I mean, I don't know who he is, as you are.
Dan Axel Jameson, he's had a steady climb back into the top 10. Obviously, he was in the main draft league before. Black Bitch, great on the black belt, 110 points. Mike Nunn with the Sports Entertainers, 112. And we've got Simon with Riddle Me This. He's got his captain of soul, Sokoa. Raquel Rodriguez, Matt Riddle, Wesley, The Acclaimed, Britt Baker. So he might not have as fruitful a weekend as what he's hoping. But, you know, he can say, you know, what, I'm top of the table. I've got 23 points this week. I'm fairly happy with that.
Yeah, I'd like to have a word with Alan Laurie as well. Like, given that he's now broken into the top five, and he's got a very good, he's got a very fortunate weekend coming up because his captain's Rhea Ripley, and she's got pretty much a pushover title defense against Natalia, Night of Champions. But look at the rest of his card. He's got Bayley, Bobby Lashley, Shinsuke Nakamura, The Acclaimed, and Bron Breakker. So, again, not as much representation as, say, like, you know, as you described my team earlier, but a Rhea Ripley captaincy win on pay-per-view, that will be huge for Alan Laurie.
We do have as well, obviously, that after the week hiatus of the Listeners League Cup is back in full swing this week. I won't delve too much into it because obviously the PLE is going to play a huge factor into that as the match day four does end on the 28th after all the pay-per-views happen. Like Jonathan Napier, he's leading Group 1 right now on 12 points. Lachlan Hyatt's joined the Mike Angus on 9 points in Group 2. Gary Morris has just got a slight lead over Johnny Adam in Group 3 from 7 to 6. Simon's got 12 points in Group 4. Mike Nunn on 9. Robert Shaw and Dan Axel Jameson, two Listeners League's legends, tied in that point. They've both been on the main league on 9 points there for Group 5. John Sly, we've got 12 points so far with Michael Clothier on 6 points for Group 6. Stuart Cowie on 9 points and Colin Blackburn on 6 points. Tied with Lee McAteer on Group 7, and Adam Callier, or Kaye, I can't remember how to pronounce your name. You told me so many times, I can't remember how to pronounce it. I'm so sorry. And Anthony Fitzpatrick tied in 9 points there. So obviously, that might change coming into how the PLEs look after this, but that's the standing of the listeners' league so far. But obviously, check out Central next week, and you'll get the full standing of how this looks. We look into how our normal league's going, and yeah, tune in Wednesday for Central to get more information on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, we do have two people in the listeners' league cup still on zero. That's Craig Forsyth and Martin Best. And even though Martin Best has Ray Ripley as his team captain, the bottom half of his team isn't really anything to howl about. Round 5 and round 6, I think, is what let them down in particular. Round 5 is Braun Strowman, who's only picked up 3 points this week, and Ronda Rousey has only picked up 1. But that could all change this coming Monday when, you know, she and Shayna Baszler could be crowned the new women's tag champions. So we might finally get some points on the board in the Listeners League Cup.
Aye, for sure. It's big changes could come Monday as well with that women's tag title. So it's an interesting one. But aye, it's a good concept, the Listeners League Cup. I'm quite a fan of it, and also allows someone from the Listeners League that may won't win the league overall to come up and play with the pod league. So it's a good incentive to try and win that.
Always, yeah. And I like the format of the Champions League we're doing this season rather than just a straight out knockout tournament. But once the match days have been done up to the transfer window, it will go into a knockout bracket format with our top 16 players. So there's still a chance, you know, you can get some points from the two match days that we've got left.
Aye, for sure. All week, not going to get it ends. Also, the transfer windows the week after Money in the Bank, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's the week of June 12th. So I think it's just before Money in the Bank.
No, it's not July. I'm sure it's July because Money in the Bank's not until the start of July.
No, it's before Money in the Bank. It's because the last match day is 10th of June, and transfer window starts 12th of June.
Ah, fuck me then, aye. Fair enough.
All right. But let's talk about the PLEs and who can score the big points from this weekend. We'll start off with the most talked about event that's coming this weekend, and that is, surprisingly, it's not Double or Nothing. We'll start off with Night of Champions. So we've got 7 matches announced so far, but obviously, you know, cards subject to change. So we have Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus. So Becky Lynch is taken by, remind me, Jack, who has Becky Lynch?
Becky Lynch.
Oh, Ross Brady, here we go. She was selected somewhere in the middle of round 2. She's only on 4 points at the minute. Not a massive scorer. And I believe Trish has been picked by Matt Smith, also on 4 points as well. But she was picked down in round 5. So where do you see this one going?
I see this finishing at SummerSlam. I see Trish Stratus getting the win. Not to go over anything here. Obviously, I think Matt Smith has a very fruitful looking PLE coming up for him. I think he's going to be getting a lot of points this weekend.
You know, we'll get into the rest of his matches in just a bit. But I'm going to shoot through a couple others just because I think they're probably the most predictable ones on the card. We have Rhea Ripley versus Natalya for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Going Rhea's way. Scott needs the points.
Yeah, Scott needs those points. And Natalya, I believe, is undrafted. So I think that's just easy points for his captain there. Next up, we have my captain, Gunther, versus the undrafted Mustafa Ali for the Intercontinental Championship.
Well, you fucking need it for Gunther, definitely.
I do fucking need it. I mean, he's off, you know, he was off, you know, consummating his marriage on his honeymoon, and now he needs to come back and get me some points here.
So you've got 16 from overall the captaincy applied. You'll get a good amount of the day. All right, so worst performing round 1 and worst performing, no, second worst performing round 1, but the worst performing captain because Scott has, no, Ross has Shinsuke Nakamura as his captain.
That's right, yeah.
So you, yeah, I mean, you'll claim that afterwards, but it's not been the hopeful start for Gunther you'd like.
Yeah, but for reasons out with everybody's control, you know, but he'll bounce back. You know, Triple H is high on him. Everybody in the back's high on him. And, you know, he's closing in on a year as Intercontinental Champion. I think he's going to run roughshod, maybe even break the Honky Tonk Man's record, which would be amazing. Next, we have Bianca Belair versus Asuka for the Raw for two SmackDown women fighting for the Raw Women's Championship. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, right? But Bianca was picked fifth overall by Lean Mean Tangerine Ryan Dalglish, and my fifth round pick, Asuka. So that's two title matches with two of my picks already. Where do you see this one going?
I honestly don't have a clue.
I would really, 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 really like an Asuka win. And I mentioned this on Central as well. If Asuka wins and Rhea retains, it ends Bianca's record-breaking reign. And then Asuka and Rhea can swap their titles to their respective brands. So at least it puts a full stop on Bianca's reign. And then even though they switch titles, it doesn't really affect Rhea Ripley's run a little bit because she's only held the title since WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes sense, Hank. It's built for Asuka to win, but it's like, what happens to Bianca after? You know, it's a tough one.
Yeah. Give her some time off. Give her some time to reset. You know, let Asuka just run rampant on SmackDown and get even more points for me. See, I was a little bit hesitant about, you know, Asuka as well, because obviously she didn't score many points in the first couple of weeks, but now she's starting to bounce back and get some momentum, kind of like what Gunther is. So maybe I could be in with a late surge here and just shoot up the table with a couple of title wins.
I've got to go away and see. Obviously, she's on 4 points now, but that could definitely change.
Yeah. All right, we have Cody Rhodes versus Brock Lesnar in a second round match from Backlash. So I have Brock Lesnar. There's a lot of my team here today.
I think Brock's winning this.
Yeah, and Gary, two former tag partners go together against his captain, Cody Rhodes, who's on 52 points overall and third in the top 10 of the season.
Yeah.
But you think Brock's winning this?
Yes, again, I think it's a story that's going through at SummerSlam. This is going to be the trials and tribulations of Cody Rhodes, and he's got to lose before he kind of gets back up, I think. And it's considering this keeps getting branded as a fight, I think Brock Lesnar's going to fucking batter him.
Well, absolutely, yeah. Maybe, what do you think, TKO or referee stoppage?
Potentially stoppage or something, but they need to make it look dominant, I think, Kink.
Yeah,
it's the way they're going. It's going to ultimately we're going to be getting back to Cody versus Roman somehow next year at WrestleMania, but they need to make it that he needs to build up from the bottom again to kind of get to that point. And I think, I mean, we've seen it with John Cena getting battered with Brock Lesnar and then coming on and being amazing after. This is exactly what's happening with Cody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So it sounds like my team's got a lot of support behind it this weekend. But, you know, things can change on a dime. Next, the Undisputed Tag Team Championships. It's three quarters Matt Smith and one quarter Tom Brock. So we're going to quarter Dutch here. It's Matt Smith's captain, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, versus his fourth round pick, Roman Reigns, and Tom Brock's captain, Solo Sikoa. I think we mentioned this earlier. You know, I think for storyline purposes, we think Zayn and Owens are winning this.
I think it's clear as day that Zayn and Owens are winning this.
I mean, sure, Zayn and Owens have the captaincy on Matt Smith's team, but, you know, he still could incur maybe a slight point loss if Roman Reigns ends up being on the losing team. But I think it's safe to say Solo is going to be eating the pin on this one if they do lose.
Aye, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then we obviously have our main event, Seth Rollins, who is on, bear with me a second, Chris Anthony Lopez's team, his team captain, and AJ Styles, who surprisingly is undrafted. So it's all Chris Anthony Lopez to get big points from this, from Big Gold 2.0.
Obviously, we were like, AJ Styles, we did the draft knowing you and AJ Styles come back from injury. Then all of a sudden, he just appeared out of nowhere during the draft. There was no nothing to it. There wasn't even a big fanfare. He just kind of appeared as one of Ryan's famous phrases was. He's there. He just turned up. I think it's pretty clear that probably Seth Rollins is going to win this. It'll be a good date for Chris Anthony Lopez on that front.
You know what's bothering me though? I can't help but think there's a twist coming. And I think it involves a certain Scottish psychopath. Maybe I'm just coming out of left field here, but I just can't help shake that feeling that something else is going to happen.
That's an interesting one. I don't know if it'll happen in the show, but maybe in the Raw after.
Possibly. But I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But it's how do we call it? It's food for thought. That's what I was looking for. But it's not just that's not the only WWE event we've got this weekend. We also have NXT Battleground on I believe it's the yeah. Also it's happening tomorrow night. So we record on the Saturday. NXT Battleground's happening on the Sunday, as well as AEW Double or Nothing. But we'll quickly shoot through NXT Battleground and see where points could be had there. But just announced this week, we have Gallus versus the Creeds. So Scott McLeod working with Gallus, and I believe the Creeds are undrafted. So he could Scott could get some NXT tag title points there.
Good for his round two, because the Gallus only have 8 points so far. So a good title win will help kind of stand. Reaffirm his round two pick of Gallus being so high. I think getting a win tonight or tomorrow night will be huge.
Yeah, definitely. We have Noam Dar versus Dragon Lee for the NXT Heritage Cup in a British round rules match. Now, I remember when Tom Brock selected Noam Dar in his fifth round. I was a bit taken aback because I wasn't expecting a lot of exposure from Noam Dar, but with the NXT Heritage Cup being brought back, you know, maybe this could be a dark horse for Tom Brock to get some additional points here.
But when you look at the round five, Noam Dar has more points than Adam Page, Braun Strowman, Trish Stratus, Asuka, Pete Dunne, Hook, Maximum Male Models, the same as Maxine Dupree, Athena, and that's it. So that's like, on round five, Noam Dar's in the top half of the best
higher.
Yeah.
Mental.
And that could still continue after the British Rounds match tonight. So it's that. Noam Dar could make a lot of people eat their cake right now, I think.
Mm-hmm. We have Wes Lee defending the NXT North American title against the undrafted Tyler Bate and Joe Gacy. Some potential points there for Ryan Dalglish. Wes Lee on 12 points overall. A pretty good score for what was a mid-round pick, you know, getting the regular title defences and regular matches in.
Yeah, I think it's hoping for that to continue, but I do see a title change. I do see Tyler Bate getting this one. And I think Joe Gacy is there to take the pin so that Wesley still kind of looks a bit strong. So it's might not go the way of Ryan tonight. He might lose a couple of points there.
Mm-hmm. Just a quick note, last man standing match, two undrafted picks, but still worth mentioning. Ilya Dragunov versus Dijak, maybe two possible contenders for transfer window.
Yeah, depending on the stories that come out after this. So this story's been going on for a while. Depending on their stock and what's happening, they could be a contender for the transfer window, yeah.
Yep. This is one, and then we have one match that Chris Anthony Lopez is looking forward to in particular, and he's been shouting from the rooftops here. Could Tiffany Stratton, his fifth round pick, finally get the vacant NXT women's title as she goes one-on-one with Lyra Valkyria?
I think it's going the way of Tiffany Stratton. I think he'll be very happy, and I think we'll never hear the end of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely not. Chris Anthony Lopez will morph into the GOAT if Tiffany Stratton ends up winning. He's like, Tiffany's is to Chris Lopez as what Bayley was to the GOAT, David Campbell.
That's very true. So it'll be great points, I think, for Tiffany Stratton if she gets it.
Yeah, and obviously then we have the main event. Carmelo Hayes, who is on... Who picked Carmelo?
Ryan's team. Ryan's got 6 points of Carmelo Hayes.
Second round pick Carmelo Hayes against my sixth round pick Bron Breakker, who's on 13 points overall. Decent score for a fifth round pick, I must say. I think one of the higher scorers as well, only topped by Scrap Daddy Adam Pearce. And yeah, I think that's it. Just Scrap Daddy. Oh, and also Darby Allin on your team, Jack, who's on 14.
Yeah. I think this is I think Bron Breakker will lose this match, though. Unfortunately for you, Dave, I think it's a pretty bright set in stone.
Yeah.
So it'll be good points for Ryan, I think. So that will probably take Carmelo Hayes past the 20-point mark, which will be kind of well in the top upper echelon, probably in the top three of the best performing second round picks, just underneath Raquel Rodriguez and Rey Mysterio. But if Carmelo wins, he'll probably go second. So it'll be a great showing for Carmelo as a second round pick.
Well, absolutely, yeah. You know, I think Melo is finally, you know, established himself as the top name, and, you know, having him on your team at this point, definitely worthwhile. But you never know. I never said my team was going to have a flawless weekend, but still getting exposure in some capacity. But one last event to cover, and unfortunately it's the longest one, with 10 matches announced. It's AEW Double or Nothing, also happening on the Sunday in conjunction with NXT Battleground. So we have the House of Black in an open challenge for the AEW Trios title. So that's both Grant McRobbie and
Scott.
Who could potentially get points there?
I think it'll probably be the acclaimed of Billy Gunn that will answer that. And I believe the acclaimed around David Campbell's here on 15 points, and I don't see them winning at all. I know they've been on a good run of getting their trios wins recently. But I think it's a clear victory for the House of Black. So Grant drafted them second. They've got 11 points so far. Malachi Black went fourth round with Scott on 10. So I think they'll both get really good points after this show at Double or Nothing here.
Yeah, I want to say I made a mistake with the last man standing match at Battleground. It turns out Grant McRobbie has Ilya Dragunov as his last round pick. So that's my bad. Sorry. Ilya Dragunov on 10 points. So I think he Grant would benefit from a Dragunov win there.
Yeah, that'll be for the last round pick. He's already in 10 points. If he gets that up to the 16, it'll be one of the best performing last round picks so far, so that'll be I'll be great for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have Jade Cargill versus Taya Valkyrie, TBS Championship. I've got Jade Cargill as my second round pick. A pretty high scorer as well. I think high scorer on my team thus far with 17 points. Another win will just push her over the 20-point mark and maybe push her even into the top 10 of the season.
It's something that I see every time. Everyone's just waiting for Jade Cargill to drop the belt. And I think with Taya Valkyrie facing her again at a big pay-per-view, I think the time has run out on her title reign. I think it's been great, but I think it's time for a change of the guard.
No, I'd want a Jade win here, but, you know, as it stands, you know, I think it could be leaning towards a title drop here. We have our very own Chugs, Adam Cole, on Stephen Wilson's team against Chris Anthony Lopez's fourth round pick of Chris Jericho in an unsanctioned match with Sabu as the referee. That's just mad when you say it out loud.
Aye, it's mental. I assume that Adam Cole is going to win this, but I honestly don't know. But I'm also I don't really care. And in the same way as well, for some reason. But obviously, Chris Jericho has got 9 points so far for Chris Lopez. And Adam Cole, who sits in Stephen Wilson's team, has got 10 points. So they're both fairly close. Chris obviously needs it for his title push in this season. Stephen needs it to get further into that top part of the table. It's an interesting one, but I think I'm going to take a guess. I'll say that Adam Cole will get the win, having just come back from injury.
Yes. Got to get behind Chugs here. But yeah, just very quickly, TNT title match. Wardlow, who dethroned Scott's pick of Will Hobbs at the start of the season, is going up against the undrafted Christian Cage in a ladder match for the TNT title. So no impact on the draft there, but definitely worth acknowledging. We have FTR, who is Tom Brock's tag team going up against Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal. You know, something you'd never thought you'd say in 2023, but here we are. And Mark Briscoe is special referee.
It's good to see Mark Briscoe being the special guest referee. FTR will be getting the points again. Also, FTR were drafted second. They got 6 points overall, so probably expected a better performance from them so far. We've not seen that yet. But this could be the catapult to how they perform the rest of the season. They'll get quite a few points for getting the win, so be hoping a lot for that.
Yeah, not done well as a tag team this season. Like, I think the only team that's done worse than them is Maximum Male Models, who are on 1 point. But yeah. Anyway, the Blackjack Battle Royal for the AEW International Championship. Could Orange Cassidy potentially lose the title and impact GOAT's pursuit of the top of the table?
I really don't know. Looking at the folk that's in it, I'm like, I don't really see anyone that can realistically take that title off him. And he's someone that's good just to kind of keep building up around it for the collision being started, you know what I mean? But do I ever trust Tony Khan to make a good booking decision? No, I don't.
Mm. One name that's sticking out to me, though, is Grant McRobbie's captain of Switchblade, Jay White, who's in this Battle Royal. So potential there, you know, for Grant maybe to get some points, as, you know, Jay White could potentially... I mean, he's had a lot of hype coming into AEW, but he needs that little extra push maybe just to get him there. And maybe it'll benefit Grant McRobbie.
Even if he doesn't win, if he gets a good couple of eliminations, there'll be quite a few points there.
Mm-hmm. Yep, very much so. We have Jamie Hayter, who is on... Is she drafted this season? I'm sure she is drafted this season. Yep, on Gary's team. Third round pick, only 5 points overall, defending against Tony Storm, who was... who's also on Tom Brock's team. So Tom's also getting his fair bit of exposure in this weekend of wrestling.
Aye, but I think that in this will go the way of Jamie Hayter. All right, that's a successful title defense. It's not the performance that Gary would have hoped for so far with 5 points.
Are you sure?
I think
so. Are you sure, though? I've heard some rumors that she might potentially be injured, Jamie Hayter.
Oh, really? Oh, I never knew that. If there is, then I probably will switch, but I don't see it outside of that then. But if there is that injury rumour, I should say, then, you know, it would make sense to move it.
Yeah. Then we have the Fatal 4-Way Pillars match for the AEW World title, which is being advertised as the main event, but it doesn't feel like it. We have MJF, who is on... MJF, who's it? Who's got MJF? I'm sure someone's picked him.
Yeah, MJF is on the team of Matt Smith.
Yeah. Then we have the other, we have Darby Allin, who's on your team, Jack, your sixth round pick. Then we have Sammy Guevara, who I believe is undrafted.
Sammy is undrafted.
And Jungle Boy Jack Perry, who is also undrafted. So it looks like it's between you and Matt for the AEW World title.
Look, I think MJF's winning it. As long as Darby doesn't take the pin, I'm quite happy. Mm-hmm. Get the appearance points, don't take the pin, happy.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then we go on to the actual main event, the Anarchy in the Arena match between the Elite and the Blackpool Combat Club. So Boxley and Claudio, who is Ross McLeod's tag team and first round tag team, I might add, you know, a very bold play to get him off the board, but it hasn't really materialized into anything score-worthy on his end. But then the other half of Blackpool Combat Club is Chris Anthony Lopez, who has Brian Danielson and Wheeler Yuta as his team. Not doing much better, though. Second round, only 8 points scored by the two of them. But then going up against the Elite, we have...
Scott had Tom Brock,
Yep, Scott has Adam Page, Tom Brock has Kenny Omega, and the Bucks are undrafted.
I do so see the elite coming out on top here, which will be good for Scott, who's got 2 points for Adam Page, having only just returned, and Tom Brock, who has Kenny Omega, only got 5 points. So quite, for such a big program that's happening in AEW right now, obviously Adam Page only just coming back, but for Kenny Omega and 5 points, it's quite baffling to think that he has that only small amount.
Hmm. Yeah, so it looks like it's a pretty stacked weekend overall. Myself and Tom seem to be possibly potentially the biggest scorers coming out this weekend, assuming all the results go our way. But is there any match or result in particular that you think could turn the tide of the standings?
I think ones that will take quite surprising for folk will be when I think Trish will beat Becky, and when Matt Smith already been at the top, and he's got Roman Reigns, so that might offset a bit of the point scoring with Zayn Owens, but Zayn Owens is captain, so that kind of makes up for it. So he'll get a points for that. MGF will get his points for it, and I reckon Trish Stratus will beat Becky Lynch. So Matt Smith could get a big swing of points this weekend as well.
Yeah, very true. And you almost forget, you know, he's got MGF defending the AEW title as well. I mean, it's just mad to think about. You know, we have a Listeners League winner sit at the top of the table by a clear margin, and his sixth round pick is Bad Bunny. I mean,
yeah.
What's our league descended into?
It's great. I love to see it. It's good. I'm glad someone's taking the piss and making it work.
Aye. But yeah, that's our loaded weekend of wrestling. It's appreciate, you know, it's been a longer show, but we've had a lot to cover, and I hope you've been just as informed as we have been with our analysis. So once again, that's going to do it for us here on Saturday Draft Live, and we will see you following all the point scoring next week, which I imagine we will still have a lot to talk about. But make sure follow us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Suplex Retweet. Make sure you get involved with our big question, which comes out every Wednesday following our episode of Central. And be sure to listen to our back catalogue, Spotify, iTunes, and any good Android podcasting sites. So thank you, Jack Graham, for helping me cover what was a lot of potential point scoring this weekend and a lot of pay-per-view events in general.
The table will certainly change come Monday, so it'll be good to see what happens. I'm looking forward to the big switch-ups that could happen.
Yeah, so from me, David Hockney, this has been Saturday Draft Live. He's been Jack Graham, and we will see you next week. Sports Social Podcast Network.